Chapter 2. No greater love hath woman than to give up an apartment on Central Park, with a full view no less, in favor of a place way the hell out on West End Avenue that is more wheelchair accessible for her brother's visits. "It's hardly the middle of nowhere," Hank protested as he spooned ratatouille onto the plates. "First Ravens, then Charles. I mean, we can walk to Times Square in 15 minutes." Neither of the Xavier siblings responded to this. Hank was from Dundee, Illinois. He'd never understand. "It's lovely, at least. You really get a window into the whole skyline from here." Charles patted his sister's arm. "And you're remarkably settled for just 3 weeks." Only a handful of boxes in one corner attested to the recent move. "That's all Hank." Raven gave Charles a sidelong look. "But you knew that already, didn't you?"
"I might have guessed."
Given that Raven's teenage junk was still strewn all over her room at the mansion, Charles figured the organizational zeal all had to come from her fiancé. "How you would wind up with a neat freak, I'll never know." "I must take exception to the moniker Neat Freak," Hank said, in that precise yet friendly way he had. "I'm merely highly organized. You'll find any amount of miscellany in my home or office, simply stored in the appropriate place." "He alphabetized our sex toys," Raven confided, which made both men choke on their food. Hank in horror, Charles with laughter.
"Okay," Charles sputtered. "That's overkill." "It's also an overshare."
Hank's cheeks were flushed.
"Honestly, Raven, boundaries."
"What? Charles and I have always been open with each other. So, you know, better get used to it, honey."
She shrugged.
They were an odd couple. One Charles would never have dreamed would fall in love. And yet, somehow they were both under the impression he was responsible for setting them up. In all honesty, on that evening 3 years earlier, he'd asked Raven to keep Hank company at the faculty party simply because he thought that, otherwise, there was a good chance Hank, then his research assistant, would hide in the corner all night, nursing a single drink with no companion but the nearby potted fern. Now they both called him a genius matchmaker. And Charles had decided he liked the genius part well enough to let the matchmaker part slide. Brightly, Raven said, "Speaking of love lives, you've already mentioned a mysterious Eric 3 times. Who might that be,
Oh, no.
"Oh, please let him not be that obvious. That was pathetic. Please let him not be quite that far gone."
"Eric's not... he's my massage therapist, that's all."
"This guy gives you rub downs?"
"Uh-huh, I get it," Raven grinned. "Ever heard the phrase sexual healing?"
"No, really, he's a healthcare professional."
"Who's built like Michelangelo, whose hands are nearly broad enough to span my back, who talked with me like I'm a human being instead of a patient, who even laughs at my stupid jokes."
"He comes when Medmobile sends him, and he's very good at his work. The fact that he's enjoyable to talk to, that's just a bonus."
"Enjoyable to talk to? That sounds a lot like extremely good to look at."
"Well, yes." Triumphant, she raised her hands over her head.
"Called it! So when are you going to ask him out?"
"I'm not."
"Yes, you are," Raven insisted.
Hank ate quietly, his eyes going from brother to sister as though he were watching a tennis match.
"Oh, wait, is he straight?"
"I'm not sure."
Charles's gaydar had thus far been frustratingly silent, pinging neither straight nor gay when it came to Eric. Maybe that had been damaged in the wreck, too.
His sister smiled wickedly.
"Well, then, I think you should learn.
Don't shake your head at me, Charles. Why not at least sound him out?
Because he's one of my therapists. Because I rely on him for my health, and I don't want to presume.
Presume? Oh, come on!
It would only be awkward for Eric, Charles said. Already, the subject had gone from miserably embarrassing to profoundly uncomfortable. But Raven, with her usual directness, either couldn't or wouldn't see it.
What? Is this because you're in a wheelchair?
Raven tossed her tawny hair, pretending to be blithe. Doesn't mean you're not still attractive. Charles turned to Hank.
Isn't a sister telling her brother he's attractive definitely beyond normal family boundaries?
Not in this context, Hank said. She's merely stating her perception of your standing within the social strata.
Very attractive, Raven insisted. Extremely attractive, even. According to every straight girlfriend and gay guy friend I've ever had, you are, in fact, one hot piece of ass.
Okay, now it's weird, Hank said.
Raven ignored this, too.
You have to have some confidence, Charles. You have to put yourself back out there. You're still an awesome guy. That hasn't changed.
Her support meant so much to him, but there came a point where it stopped being helpful and started being denial.
Not everything has changed, Charles said quietly, but a lot of things have, including love and sex. Especially love and sex. I don't know if I'm ready to start dating yet. I don't know how I'd even begin to handle it, but I'm not going to begin by sexually harassing one of my caregivers, okay?
After an awkward pause, Raven said, without looking up from her plate,
I just mean that anyone would be lucky to have you. That's all.
I know. Charles took her free hand and squeezed, and then they were all right again. Within a few moments, they'd resumed joking about the move, and Hank was insisting that it was entirely normal to shelf books at home according to the Dewey Decimal System. And the subject of Eric was obviously closed for the evening.
Charles drove home after dinner. Using the hand controls for his car was one of the few aspects of his paraplegia to which he felt fully acclimated. With traffic lighter this late at night, he could even let his mind wander a little bit. And as it had for most of the past 6 weeks, it wandered straight to Eric.
Maybe, he thought, I wouldn't be so wretchedly hung up on him now if I hadn't been behaving so stupidly those last few months before the wreck. But no, it hadn't been stupid to take a break from dating, to hope for a relationship with some substance, instead of just another pickup at a bar or the latest hot club. Charles had let himself fall into a pattern all too common for the Manhattan gay scene, drifting between one-night stands, rarely getting hurt, and rarely hurting anyone. Winding up with dozens of casual friends he'd occasionally fuck, and not one man he thought he could really love. Some of those friends had told him he was a fool to take himself off the market, asked him how he expected to meet anyone if he wasn't going out, which was a decent question, but Charles had thought he needed some time to clear his head, create different habits, make a life where the right relationship and the right guy would belong. Instead, he'd met a guy doing 128 miles per hour on the FDR. If I'd known those were the last 4 months my cock would work correctly, I wouldn't have spent them celibate. I'd have fucked every guy who so much as glanced my way. And then maybe I wouldn't be like this. So needy, so eager, every single time Eric touches me. But it wasn't just being touched. Not even being touched well. Because Eric's hands were so expert, so knowing, that it was impossible to stop wondering what else he could do wonderfully. Okay, some of it was that. Still, most of the reasons Charles found himself thinking constantly of Eric had less to do with sex and more to do with the man himself, with the whole reason Charles had taken months off from dating in the first place. They had to do with the possibility of love. This is still bothering you, isn't it? Eric's fingers ghosted over an area just beneath Charles's ribcage on the right side, as if he could sense the pain by touch alone. It's better, Charles said, lifting his head slightly from the soft padded U at the top of the massage table. Honestly, you've made that much more flexible. Are you trying to avoid working the area again? I know it's bad when we have to get into scar tissue. I'm not dodging it, honestly. I just don't want you to think I don't, you know, appreciate you. Appreciate it, I mean. What you've done. Which is what I appreciate. Could I be any more obvious without presenting my haunches in the manner of a baboon? Why does the earth not swallow me whole? But Eric said only, no need to flatter me. I'm here to make you feel better, and you're still guarding when I touch you there. It's still sore, Charles admitted. Okay, hang on, all right? Let me know if this gets rough. One of the many special joys of Charles's condition was the way scar tissue was now layered through his body, everywhere from his chin to ankles. The worst of it was in his back, which meant his muscles sometimes cramped worse because of the unnatural ways they folded around the damage. The scar tissue never hurt on its own anymore, but when somebody pressed down hard, he winced and clung to the top of the table, stifling a cry of pain. This wasn't the so-bad-it's-good ache of a firm massage. This felt like stabbing fire. When Eric was done, Charles knew his back would be more flexible again. But until then, all he could do was endure. I'm sorry this hurts so much, Eric said gently. Let's take your mind off it. Let's talk. They talked about so many things the past few weeks. Charles's work, politics, books they'd read. But one topic had been neatly dodged. Charles decided all this pain should be good for something, at least, and so he rolled the dice. Let's talk about you. What made you decide to go into massage therapy? There was a pause, only of silence, not of Eric's constant needing hands, before Eric said, I wanted to help people. Well, that wasn't illuminating. Charles tried again. Did you always want to do this? Not when I was younger. You didn't train for this in college? No. Actually, well, I left a master's program to start PT training. Master's in what? Charles had no idea what he expected Eric to say, but it definitely wasn't metallurgical engineering. Really? What, you didn't think anybody who went into massage therapy had a brain? Don't be ridiculous. In truth, Charles had a bad habit of assuming a lack of intelligence in anyone who wasn't, well, him or his friends. His saving grace, though, was his ability to be quickly convinced otherwise, and he'd realized Eric was extremely bright within their first couple of sessions. It's just such a change, that's all. What do you mean? Eric's voice had the half-distant quality of someone who's not really listening. His attention was devoted to Charles's back, and his conversation was meant only to distract Charles. But Charles remained encouraged. This had to be a step in the right direction, didn't it? Metallurgical engineering seems like a chilly profession, you know? All that work in isolation, only ever looking at raw metals and content analysis. The exact opposite of healing hand stuff. I suppose it was a bit chilly, but in some ways that came more naturally to me than this. Eric paused, perhaps catching himself. I liked the precision of it. The money's excellent too, isn't it? Can be. This led naturally to the question of why anyone would switch from a lucrative career to one that involved wearing logo-embroidered polo shirts. But that was the moment when Eric's fingers dug into the knotted muscles just next to the scar tissue. The moment what Charles felt went from pain to agony, when tears sprang to his eyes. Charles, do you want me to stop?
keep going, Charles whispered. It would be better after. It had to be. It had to be. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Eric continued his work, urging scar tissue and muscles to part. If we do this often enough, we can make a real difference. Even break it up enough that it might not trouble you in the future.
I know.
It came out throaty and tight.
That's the worst place. The worst of all.
I would have thought... Eric caught himself. The spinal cord injury was the worst. At least it doesn't hurt as much below it. Charles' hands gripped the edge of the massage table so tightly that his fingers ached, a sensation that distracted him slightly from the rippling pain in his middle back.
Where you're working? That's where they took out my right kidney.
After a moment's silence, Eric said, I didn't realize you'd lost a kidney, too.
The impact actually burst it, Moira said. Luckily, my other kidney. It's fine. Otherwise, dialysis. Don't think I could do it.
Oh, Charles. Eric's voice, the compassion there, the genuine emotion. Well, it would have been overwhelming to Charles at any moment when he wasn't in so much pain he was wondering if he'd actually be sick. Here, we're done for now, okay? We're done. The pain stopped, and Charles tried to wipe his teary cheeks on the padding of the table. He heard water pouring into a glass and pushed himself up with his arms, the better to drink it. Eric held the glass to his mouth, even when Charles took hold of it himself. Their fingers overlapped. After a couple of messy gulps, Charles was able to say, "Thank you." Eric's face was drawn and pale, as though he had been the one in pain.
I hope the person who did this to you was put away for a very long time.
He got 1 year, Charles shrugged. His back responded to the movement fluidly, without pain. Eric knew his business. It was his first conviction. His last, he promised me. I guess we'll see.
You talked to him?
He wrote me a letter of apology from jail. I choose to believe it was sincere. I hope he pulls his life back together. It's out of my hands.
You want him to have his life back?
Eric sounded incredulous. More than that, he sounded angry.
After what he did?
Of course I'm still angry. So angry sometimes I could scream. But I try and let it go. Sometimes I succeed, sometimes I don't. Usually, when he thought about the man who'd hit him, Charles felt neither forgiveness or rage, only what he felt now, a kind of exhaustion that went deeper than the body. Carrying that around just made him so damn tired. It wasn't worth it. Someday, maybe, he could forgive for real, for good. I don't think being vindictive would make me feel better in the long run.
Caring about justice isn't the same as being vindictive, Eric snapped.
Snapped was the right word. His eyes were blazing, and his anger seemed ready to spill over in every direction, including onto Charles himself. Charles didn't reply. It seemed safest not to. He simply drank some more of his water. The silence in the room stretched on for far too long afterward. They finished their session politely enough, but Charles kept turning the conversation over and over in his head for the rest of the day. He had midterms to grade, a pile of blue books he'd hauled all the way out to New Salem in the hopes of getting done before the weekend. But he found himself pausing for long moments, replaying what Eric had said, imagining how he'd looked and wondering just where they'd gone so wrong. Then he focused on the exam in front of him once more and realized he'd read the same paragraph 3 times already. Just as evening was turning to night, his phone rang. Charles took it up without looking at the screen. At this hour, it was almost certainly Raven.
Don't tell me, he said.
You found that book in the very last box you unpacked, didn't you?
This is Eric.
Oh, sorry. Thought you were my sister. Not a mistake I usually make. The final stages of infatuation-induced brain death are blithering idiocy and stammering. I seem to have got there at last. Hello. Good evening. How are you? Charles cringed at his own reaction, but Eric didn't seem to mind it.
Right now, I'm very much aware that I didn't behave well today. I made you feel awkward, and I thought I should apologize.
It's all right, really. You obviously, feel strongly about the issue.
I do.
Eric hesitated long enough that Charles wondered whether he should accept the apology and let the call end. But then Eric said,
"Today you were asking why I'd left metallurgy for physical therapy."
Charles hadn't quite worked around to that, but it wasn't a point worth splitting. "I did wonder." Another long pause. Eric didn't find this conversation easy, apparently.
"When I was in my last semester of my master's program, a drunk driver hit my parents' car. My father was killed instantly. My mother became a quadriplegic."
"Christ, Eric, I'm so sorry." Quadriplegic, without even the use of one's arms, or even sometimes shoulders. The very idea filled Charles with terror more than it ever could have before his accident. And to have lost one parent so tragically, while having to become caregiver to another, and navigate the complicated roads of disability, therapy, insurance, hospitalization, all of the stuff that went on and on. Eric had been a victim of that wreck, too.
"I'll never know if the driver would have been sorry, if she would have written my mother a letter. She died in the wreck, too. And every time I remember that, I'm glad. I'm so fucking glad she died because of what she did."
Eric's voice broke, but he had his calm back in only a moment.
"To me, it feels like justice. Is it just hate? I don't know."
"You have a right to your own emotions." He was parroting back what his analyst had said to him, but that didn't make the words less true. "I get it. I do. There are times the anger gets the better of me, and it's like, Eric, it burns the world to ash. Everything around me is just ash." Charles ran one hand through his hair, trying to keep his breathing steady. "But that's not the world I want to live in, you know?"
"Yeah."
He leaned forward, elbows propped on the open blue book before him. "How is your mother doing?"
"She died 3 years ago. Pneumonia. I don't think she fought."
Eric's voice was hushed. Charles could see him in his mind's eye so vividly that it was as though they were sat in the same room, as if he could reach out and take Eric's hand.
"In my work, I see quadriplegics who find ways to go on, to enjoy their lives, sometimes more fully than the average person on the streets. But my mother wasn't one of them. She was so independent, too stubborn for her own good, and she just never accepted what had happened to her. She wouldn't let herself. I took care of her for nearly 7 years. It was a hard time."
"That's why you went into physical therapy," Charles said, "to help people like your mother?"
"Do you know, it took me forever to realize I actually like this work for its own sake."
"I'm glad you too, that you found your way to a good place. You deserve it."
"Well."
Eric didn't seem to know what to do with praise. Charles let him off the hook, although the intensity of their conversation still circled them, warmed them together like a blanket folded around them both. They could talk more normally now. "Did you start your studies right away?"
"No, I worked my way through school a class at a time, so I only got fully certified a couple years ago, and I'm still getting licensed for specialized therapy, Working on water therapies right now, actually.
Water therapy? You mean there's something Moira hasn't actually made me do?
Moira?
You know, Dr. McTaggart, my doctor. We're friends.
Not my girlfriend. She's delightful and beautiful, and if I went that way, I couldn't do better. But I don't go that way. Oh, please understand me.
Are there more classes to take?
I've taken them. It's mostly about logging practice hours now.
Do you need volunteers? Charles had been joking, but Eric sounded hopeful.
You'd give it a try?
Sure, why not?
It would be a haul for you, coming all the way up from NYU or all the way down from New Salem. Our facility's on the Upper East Side.
Although Charles felt this would be well worth the haul, he had a better idea. Can we practice here? There's a pool.
I guess, but the weather's far too cold for you to swim in that yet.
I don't mean the one outside. We have a heated pool in the basement, too. Sometimes Charles looked around at the stupefying grandeur of his house and wished his mother had found other ways to fill her inner emptiness. Ways that went beyond opulent interior design. Now he could only think, "Thanks, Mom." Eric hesitated another few moments before saying,
"You're sure?"
"Absolutely. Needed practice for you, free therapy for me."
"Maybe after a massage session on Friday?"
"Friday night?" Charles very much hoped that it'd come out blithe and urbane, instead of with wild hope. "That works." After they hung up, Charles pushed the exams to the side. He wouldn't be getting any more grading done tonight. Instead, he wheeled himself to the east windows and gazed up at the stars. Sometimes he saw Eric's face among them, like a constellation. He wondered what Eric's mother had been like, what she and Charles might have had to say to one another. He thought about the accidents that had smashed the lives they'd had before, turned them into the lives they had now. He held close to him the knowledge that Eric had wanted him to understand, even something this intimate and painful. The knowledge that they really could talk about anything, that whatever wall of reserve Eric had drawn around himself had fallen. And despite all that, every time Charles thought about Friday night, he smiled.
"Wait," Sean panted. "You do this every morning?"
"I do now."
Eric hadn't taken such good care of himself before his mother's accident had taught him how fragile the human body was, how it deserved to be protected.
"At 5 a.m.?"
They were jogging side by side in Central Park, surrounded only by the few other morning run diehards, a handful of drowsy dog owners with jackets pulled over their pajamas, and one woman who appeared to be bird-watching.
"You don't seem to be enjoying it."
"Are you kidding?" Sean paused and bent over, hands on his knees to catch his breath. "A wise man once said, 'I acknowledge 1 5 o'clock a day, and this isn't it.'"
"Then why did you say yes when I asked you?"
"Because you never want to do anything with anybody." Sean coughed, wiped his mouth with the back of his wrist, and stood up again. His face was almost as flushed as his hair. "So, I figured you had something important to talk about. That's why I got up at this ungodly hour. Spit it out already, would you?" Eric hadn't realized before now that Sean was concerned for him. The idea rankled a bit. Eric didn't like others to feel like they had to care for him, but he could appreciate the kindness behind it. "Have any of your relationships with patients become, well, gone past the professional?" Sean gave Eric a look. "You can't bang 'em."
"I know that.
Obviously, if things with Charles kept going,
well,
He could just have Charles reassigned to another therapist. Eric had double-checked the employee manual on this question the night before.
Seriously? Don't go there. You're not the type to take advantage. I know that. But it can get confusing.
Take advantage?
Come on, Eric. Every single one of us has about a half dozen clients in love with us at any given moment. You definitely included.
That's not love, Eric insisted. He began jogging again, forcing Sean to keep up.
It's infatuation. Normal enough given how much touching goes on. They all know it for what it is.
He had an elderly woman patient who always greeted him by waving, batting her lashes and calling out, "Hello, lover boy." It made Eric laugh, as it was meant to.
Most of the time, sure. But some of our patients are shut-ins. Some of them are lonely. There's a lot of emotional vulnerability there.
Eric glanced over at Sean.
When did you get so sensitive?
They had sensitivity on sale at Trader Joe's last week. I stocked up.
Listen, okay? These people have to let us into their lives. They have to let us touch their bodies. Sometimes they have to let us see them naked, in pain, all the other stuff they hide from most of the world. I've seen people get confused about that kind of intimacy and fool themselves into thinking it's something more than it is. That goes for patients and therapists both. So watch yourself.
Got it, Eric said. He lengthened his strides so that he pulled ahead of Sean. His breath came in puffs, each cloudy in the cold morning air. He thought about Charles lying beneath his hands, in pain, but trusting that whatever Eric put him through would be worth it. Trusting him completely.